Hello and croeso to episode 98 of Alternative Wales, the podcast. Following his nomination for Wales's busiest man, we are once again couseless. He is fit and well, just particularly busy at the moment, so don't fret. He will be back. So instead, you're stuck with the housewife's favourite, Rodri Davies. Rodri, how's it going?
Never been described as that ever in my life before, but thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, all good this week. Fit and firing for a change. Had a decent bank holiday weekend. Worked the Friday night and then went down Tom Pentre to watch the Loose Moors final, I think it was, senior men's final. And good game. Good, lovely weather. Nice weather. Down Pennebont it was. So, yeah, enjoyed the Saturday. So, pleasant weekend all in all.
Wow, there we are. That's uncomfortably positive from you. So yeah, we're in for a treat tonight. And once again, standing in. And once again, we'll no doubt offend someone, either Rodri or someone listening. It's Lewis Sharp. Lewis, how are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Rice. Similar to Rod, I had a nice weekend. Went back to the best place to live in the world. I did.
Llandovery. Well, you should have told me you were there.
It wasn't Llandovery, mate. Went from Friday and got back yesterday. So, and it was nice to go back. And even though I went to the pub every day, it was nice to go back and not go to the pub from like 6, not getting back until 3 o'clock in the morning. It was more of like a 9 until 12. So at least my parents weren't like fuming at me for not actually seeing them.
Well, do you know what this sounds like? This sounds like growing up.
I don't think so. No. I think it sounds like all my friends are in uni and there was only 2 of us, so it couldn't get silly.
Well, there we are. A nice weekend all round, so that's good. And I feel like that is the vibe we're taking into the show. Not really much up for discussion this week. It's been a quiet week as the season sort of peters out. Obviously, we had all the Wrexham excitement a couple of weeks ago, and you know the EFL's wrapping up, and Cardiff, Swansea, and Newport are just sort of staying where they are. We had the Welsh Cup final, which Lewis, you went to. That it was just a bit of a damp squib from a sort of a competitive standpoint. TNS cantered to a 6-0 victory. How was it from your perspective, you know, on the ground at the game?
Oh, it was amazing. You might have seen me on the FAW Instagram stories. My name's Lewis Sharp. This is... I'm here at Lamport Stadium.
I can't believe I missed that on the day.
Yeah, I know. The amount of people they could have got in for that. And it took me about 25 times to get one 10-second clip. it was a nightmare. But at the old stomping ground, Nantaporth. Oh, it was a great day, and it was just nice to have some type of, even though like obviously with Bangor 1876 and stuff, football is and always will be like massive in the city, but it was nice to see, you know, the Welsh final there, for instance. But in terms of the game itself, TNS went ahead like sort of 20 minutes in or something. But then Ballard really grew into the game. They had quite a few chances, but then TNS got their second a few minutes into the second half. And then after that, it was just really, really comfortable. And then I guess 6-0 scoreline doesn't really reflect the game very well because 3 of the goals were scored 87th minute plus or something. So it was a really, really good day. Sun was shining in Bangor for once. They had like a fan zone with DJ and Tinty and the Bucket Hats. There was like a few separate groups of Ballartown ultras, a few of them quite young as well. So I guess it was a really good day out for them. And Bangor, obviously with it being the best place in the world, was the perfect venue.
Yeah, I was going to sort of, obviously there's little to talk about. That's just what TNS do, is just when you think you're getting back into the game, they'll just hit you with a couple of successive goals and you're out of it. And I think that's pretty much the story of the game. In terms of, you know, Bangor as a footballing city, and I think, like you said, you know, the history behind the team that has always played there, now sort of you know, it sort of now is 1876 is the only, you know, the only major team in the town, could still be promoted into the Cymru North. I think there's still a few games to go in their league. So we'll see how that plays out. I guess it was an important event for Bangor, and I think there was some, you know, from some quarters, you know, naysayers as to why the cup was played there. I still think that it would be good to consistently have the venue as the Cardiff City Stadium as our national football stadium. But you know, in where we're currently at now in the domestic game, it doesn't really make sense to bring two teams from North Wales down to the, you know, to Cardiff City Stadium for them to rattle around in there. So yeah, how important do you think it is for the city that they have this game, and you know, there's clearly still an appetite there for football, isn't there?
Yeah. Just as, like, I understand what you're saying in terms of having it in the Cardiff City Stadium, because it should be, like, idolised as this game at the end of every year. In the same way, like, you hear about in the English FA Cup that, like, the magic of the cup, this, that and the other, and how, maybe not so much now, but 20, 30 years ago, how massive the FA Cup final day was. Mm. I understand why you say that. But at the same time, last year with it being held at the CCS, it looked empty, I thought, yeah, on the Scorio coverage, because the way that the cameras and the broadcasters are was the same side as where the fans were. So it looked like it was being played behind closed doors. But yeah, in terms of what it can do for a city in Bangor, I know just from walking around the stadium, I bumped into quite a lot of people who I know from playing with or against domestically over the years, but people who I've never seen at a top flight game before. So I think the attendance was about 1,200 odd. So people who probably haven't watched a game in the top flight this season coming down. So it was really good for them, really. And as you mentioned, with it being two, well, not North Walian, but two teams in the north, having it down here might not have been the most ideal location. But yeah, Bangor should host every Welsh Cup final for the remainder of time.
There we are. That's a hell of a statement there once again.
Even if it's like Pennebont against Haverford West.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like you get Lewis on for the shock jock element. Yeah.
The worst shock jock of all time. Just like really, just really passionate about Bangor. You know, talking about the Cardiff City as a city stadium as a host venue, I think what could be looked at, and it sort of works in the rugby, where they have that sort of the finals day at the Millennium Stadium and sort of three finals in a day. You know, we had the double header of finals in Newtown on a Saturday afternoon. It was the Amateur Trophy, which Thomas beat Tommy Cowse's Denby Town, which I think was a bit of a shock from my limited knowledge. But yeah, fair play to Thomas, a great result. And Barry beat a Colwyn Bayside that were literally already on the beach in the, I don't even know what it's officially called. It's the Welsh Blood Service final, sort of between the tier one, the tier two teams only, the Cymru North and South. You know, I could see there being a market for playing all three of those games in one day at the Cardiff City Stadium. You know, all of those six teams who compete would bring fans. Some would stick around for just their game. Some would stick around all day. So I don't know, maybe it's food for thought if anyone from the FAW is listening. Although I imagine it could easily be quickly poo-pooed, because I am not a decision maker. I am just simply an ideas man.
Host all three games at Nantporth.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If it was Farrow Road, I'd talk to you about it. But yeah, so it doesn't look the same on the TV, Nantporth. But anyway, congratulations TNS again for winning. I hope you're happy, Mike Harris. I hope you're happy. but it does mean, you know, it was a positive afternoon for me personally. Pennebont have qualified for Europe for the first time in their history. So I'm pretty pleased about that and really looking forward to seeing what's to come. In that, hopefully a nice away trip somewhere interesting on the cards. I just want to say I think it's thoroughly deserved for the club, and you know, and hopefully the money that comes from Europe can help push the club forward and get a little bit closer to TNS. So we can only hope. But yeah, great for the club, you know, and hopefully Pennebont can make a good fist of it in Europe It's really hard to say. Got any
preferences on where you'd want to?
Yeah, I was looking at. There's a few teams already qualified. The clown sides in Finland, the Honker and Hacker.
Have both
qualified, so that could be interesting. Yeah. You know, teams that don't exist. I think Faroe Islands would be pretty much top of the list. I think is it HB and B36, the Tórshavn teams.
They just sound like planes from the war.
That would be a lot of fun. I wouldn't be against drawing someone like Derry City, because at least they would bring a pretty good crowd over to Bridgend as well. And just make it a bit of a big game atmosphere. Because obviously if you do end up playing someone from, you know, Malta or Gibraltar or Faroe Islands, then, you know, the home game might feel a little bit of a damp squib. But, you know, it would be nice to go and beat someone in the first round and then challenge yourself against, you know, a team with a bit more of a standing. I think, you know, some of the, I think Hearts are currently fourth in Scotland, which means they would qualify for the second qualifying round. Or I think there'll be a couple of Portuguese teams in there. For the second round. So I think it'd be nice here. Get a nice, interesting trip. Hopefully a winnable game, similar to what Newtown did last year. I think they beat in the first round, Lewis. Can you remember? Was it Crusaders from Ireland? Or am I...
I don't remember. I
can't remember either. No. But they went to Turnovar in Slovakia. So yeah, I think something like that would be nice. And who knows where it could lead then. Hopefully then a group stage where... Penobot knockout Spurs or something, that would be fun. But we shall see. Yeah, so congratulations TNS, congratulations Penobot, and obviously Connors Key, who are also in Europe. The playoffs then for the Cymru Premier will start this weekend. Off the top of my head, I can't remember. I think it's Cardiff Met, this is Haverford West, and Bala, this is Newtown. Lewis, am I right? I think I am.
You're correct.
Good stuff. So yeah, that'll be on the weekend for the final European spot. Meanwhile, there is only one game left of the EFL season, and for the three clubs playing in the EFL, it is pretty meaningless. Cardiff secured safety in midweek with a win over Rotherham, and then put in a very poor performance on the Sunday against Huddersfield. Thank God Cardiff had already stayed up, because that was dire. But I let them off because it was a good performance last midweek. Swansea's late playoff charge ran out of steam with a 1-1 draw in Hull. And Newport continued their win-loss pattern with a 2-1 win over Gillingham. So it's not really been much of a season to remember for any of the three clubs. Obviously, Wrexham will never forget this season. And Merthyr had... a lot more fonder memories than some of the EFL clubs with their FA Cup run. We did ask on Twitter for some of your favourite memories this season. We did have a few in. What have we had? Evan Williams said the season finishing, which, to be fair, from a Cardiff perspective, I totally agree with that, because it has been my least favourite season, I think, ever following Cardiff. Evan Powell said, Bargoyd away, eternally grateful for the famous Kevin Hengoyd after covering the fine for letting off Pyro in the grandstand. We go again next season. What else did we have? Boosh with them. He said, being there with my dad and friends, sharing the increasing confidence with the team and supporters, the passion of the club, quality of football and players winning for us, but most of all time with my dad, which is absolutely what it's all about at the end of the day. It's the friends we make along the way. Although obviously Colwyn Bay getting promoted, I'm sure, was a great day out. Paul Burns said his favourite moment was watching Clanfire United start the season when you were as a fan, full of hope and optimism for what lays ahead, and then beating Caersus 2-0 at home last week. And Mike, this one made me laugh, he said, top three moments for my Cardiff season. One, Perry and G's free kick away to Birmingham. Two, Perry and G in goal. And three, standing on a plug and Lego at the same time and some bleach going in my eyes. So I think that says all you need to know about Cardiff season. Rod, like I said, it hasn't really been much to shout about for any of the Welsh clubs in the EFL. Obviously, Cardiff had Swansea had a late flurry of good form. They also had the double. I think that's probably what they're going to take away from this season in terms of enjoyment from a fan perspective.
Yeah, probably. There was a stage in the season for them where it was really not going well at all either, was it? So I think they were pretty much looking forward to it all ending until they had that huge run of form, which left them, and which is always the worst thing as a football fan, is that like slight bit of hope, because you don't need that. You just crush it as soon as you can, really, isn't it? But no, I think, yeah, they at least there's promising signs for the future, but like I always caveat that with Swansea is it depends on the off-field action over the summer now, and whether their ownership can actually, you know, grow a spine and back the manager for once and stop, like, you know, what's the word? Here we are. it's a weekly thing now. they kind of, and fuck's sake, you can cut this out if you want. What's the word I'm looking for? Undermine.
Yeah. There we are. Yeah. In the end. I forgot what the sentence was up to undermine now, though.
Where they just tend to undermine any kind of positivity or potential progress with what they do off the field. And that seems to have been the general play of things over the last few seasons. So I think they've got to try and keep up this upward momentum at the end of the season and crack on and make a good fist of it next season, because they're looking in a much better place now than any time previously. So that's one thing they can be positive about. And Cardiff, I think you can just be glad it's over and you're still in the same league. also, like Evan said then, that he's just one of his favourite parts of the season is that it's finished. Give it 2 weeks, you'll be like screaming for it back. That's the drug that is football, I think, isn't it? No matter how shit it's been this season, you'll still have some false optimism next season.
And
everyone's got that dream, and they so
I
think generally everyone can just be content with where they are now and hope they get things right over the summer.
Lewis, I think it's similar to say for Newport County as well. There's been some rocky moments for them during the season, but they never really looked like going down and never really looked like trouble in the playoffs. I think they're just happy to sort of use this season under the new manager and look ahead to next year.
You just said exactly what. What else can I add to that? I'll tell you what, they're on the beach. They're on the beach. That's honestly one of my favourite terms in football.
And I did love as well, going back to Colwyn Bay, that the fact that they literally were on the beach this last weekend. Because
have you seen that Brian Gunn account on Twitter that does all them like football cliche sayings? Has he done an on the beach one yet?
I wouldn't be surprised if there is an on the beach one.
It is
a good one. We'll speak to the five EFL fans of the five teams playing in the English system next week. I haven't asked them yet, but I'm sure they'll oblige and catch up. You know what they thought of this season.
If you can't find one for someone, I'm willing to improvise and put on an accent. I'll come on as like Colin Jenkins or someone
from Merthyr, talking a Merthyr accent.
Okay, that's it.
I'll hold you to that then. in other news. This week, Wales women have finally been drawn into the Nations League group, so they know who they're going to be playing this year. We'll be facing Germany, Denmark and Iceland in the autumn. Really tough group. I think, obviously, three really good sides, so it'll be interesting to see how we match up against them. I think those games start in September. They did release the fixtures earlier, but my mind's gone blank. I could look, but that'll just take time. And in sad news, Nico Williams broke his jaw last week, which is really nasty. And I haven't actually seen it, but I was told that it was Brennan Johnson that did it.
Ban him.
By miskicking a ball or something and caught him in the chops. So, not a very nice way to do it. Just typical that a Welsh lad would do it. So he's going to be out for the June games. I think if they operated on it, then September might be a push as well. And Rod, I think it's just really disappointing now, because he's become, you know, one of our important players over the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, I think you're probably facing a good few months out of contact sport after breaking your jaw. So I think it's pretty much 100% he's not playing in June, which is, like you say, massive blow. He's one of our more consistent performers, especially the last year or two. Mm. And yeah, obviously he's one of the now put in the post glory era, if you want to call it that. He's one of the first names in the team sheet now, isn't he? So it's it's going to be disappointing. We'll have to find a way around it. But big blow to our chances in Turkey away, especially. Mm-hmm. We need the strongest possible team. I did see that Kiefer Moore went off on the weekend. Have you heard anything more about that?
Did he? I didn't even know he did.
He came on as a sub, I think, and then he went off long after. So I'm hoping to God that's not the... That's not something either, but... Yeah, I should have looked into that before bringing it up, really, because maybe I'm just doom-mongering for
maybe
no reason.
Maybe just had a nosebleed or something and...
a fly in his eye or something.
In good Welsh player news, though, Nathan Broadhead and Wes Burns' Ipswich Town were promoted from League One. Lewis, as a fellow Bangor lad,
there we go.
Nathan Broadhead, going from strength to strength, a great season for him personally. I know Wes Burns had a good season. Ipswich seemed to be a really exciting team. I was just listening to Guardian Football Weekly and Nick Ames, one of the journalists on there, is an Ipswich fan. He was raving about how good they'd be in this season. I think they're going to be a bit of a force next year. But it is only a good thing that these two lads have been an important part of that team, and hopefully they'll be an important part of the team, but playing in the Championship next year for them.
Yeah, with my mate, Bangor Brody. it seems like it's been quite frustrating for him, because every time he's had a run of games when being on loan from Everton, it was like scoring like, I don't know, 5 in 10 or something, and he'd get injured for a few months. Mm. And it always sort of hampered his positive spells. And then this season, it seems to have just sort of clicked for him, and hopefully he can stay injury free, because undoubtedly he's a good, probably even Championship level striker now. But what's quite good about him is, quite a lot of his goals, I can't say that I've watched like thousands of minutes of him, but like they are sort of like poacher goals, if you know what I mean. Like, for instance, I think I did see his goal from this weekend, and it was like a front post header, and then obviously his header away at, was it? No, it wasn't even a header, his goal away at Croatia. I'm having a bit of a Rob moment. Yeah, I don't know what I'm trying to say. But,
I think it was a penalty the weekend, wasn't it?
Was it?
I think so.
I know he scored some belt-in free kicks this season as well.
So what I was saying is completely invalid, really. But,
yeah, I don't know. Maybe I've kind of only caught a glimpse of it, so maybe I'm wrong. Let's agree we're all wrong.
Let's just agree. It's a good thing.
Throw back to the fact that he's from Bangor.
Yeah, he's from Bangor. He'll be playing in the Championship, and that's a good thing. I think that's...
I don't know if you guys have seen as well. It might be completely wrong, but Lee Grant is their attacking coach.
What, the goalkeeper?
Yeah, I'm almost certain. I saw it on I saw it on Twitter the other day. And then I Googled it, and then it was like something to do with somebody like had written an article. I think it was like maybe even like Sky Sports. And it said that I don't think it's like an official attackers. Like, he's not an attacking coach, maybe. But like the way they worded it was something like he works with strikers. And I don't think he's a goalkeeper coach.
That's weird. I was going to say, because he was at United, wasn't he? And Kieran McKenna was as well. I think that's where they've all sort of come from. So that would be an interesting one. Always made me laugh. There was a girl in school with me called Lee Grant during, Lee Grant's pomp, in the mid-2000s. Yeah. So just, I don't know why, it just brought a smile to my face.
Yeah, there was a girl in school with me called Jussi Askelainen.
Hope she's well anyway. If you listen, lovely girl. There we are. Like I said, a bit of a weird week of news, just sort of winding down the season. It would have been nice to have more of a Welsh Cup final to talk about, but TNS just win things, and that's the way it is. And on that note, we'll speak to Adrian Phillips next. Adrian Phillips, are you there?
Indeed, I am.
Good stuff. What's the goss? What's the news? What's happening in the world of Phillips?
I've got a bad back.
Yeah. Fuck
apart
the union check.
Yeah. Viva Agent Phillips. You know, I went to watch Tom Pendra the weekend.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you about this. I did see many images of you and Rodney at Tom Pendra, and I did wonder what your, you know, what you were doing there, really.
Flying the flag for Alternative Wales.
Well, yeah, someone has to, so yeah. Fair play to you.
And I was scouting for players, but they're far too good for my team.
Yeah, not interested.
Well, they won't be, no.
No criminal records on show, so not bothered.
Well, I didn't go that far, but I just think that their overall ability with the football is far superior to what I'm looking for.
Well, I was only there to meet Phillips because he said he'd pay me cash to talk about the assistant manager position.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'll just take the cash and give him part some of my time, but not really ever with the intention of taking on the role. But yeah, that's the only reason I was hanging around with this fucking chancer. Yeah.
Phillips, what do you make of that?
That's 99% true. I didn't offer him that much cash. There was a picture, if anyone's been eagle-eyed enough to see, there's a picture of me and Rodney and Red Allen as well.
Knocking around.
It was Tony.
One of them, yeah. But what I wanted to say was, that's not actually him. That's his stunt double.
He's got stunt double.
Yeah,
because as we know, he is under investigation from Gwent Police for the salmon sting from last week.
Yeah, still ongoing.
Yeah, so we had a stand-in. He wasn't a very good actor. He'd been sacked. He didn't speak to any of us.
No, he's very rude, actually.
He was particularly rude, yeah. Yeah, but yeah, so we went down to see the Todd boys win their first cup. 30 years of hurt has come to an end.
Yeah. And
good game.
There we are. It's nice to hear from you. No nonsense. Yeah. Just sort of waiting for the nonsense to start. It's like, no, it was fine. Good game.
No, I haven't really got much nonsense. It was a nice distraction from my usual criminal enterprise. I mean, football. But I will say that I've met the Tom Pendra Ultras, and they are up there with the best supporters I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
At that level of football.
I don't know if that's sort of damning with faint praise a bit, but
I can't remember what level they play at, but there were certainly no more than 2,500 of them there.
Oh, fair play. It's a cracking turn.
Yeah, easy. 4,000 came on a bus, didn't
it? Yeah, that's it. Yeah. A full bus. But yeah, one big shout out to the man dressed like the Mad Dream Man.
Yeah, I did see the photo of that. That's a cracking outfit.
Yeah. And the game was won by, well, what would you say, Rodney? You watched it more than me.
I'd say about half hour in, they were probably 3-0 up by then, weren't they?
Yeah. And the highlight of the game was, I think it was the Mad Dream Man, actually, shouting at a Penturch player, "Put it in, it's boring."
Yeah.
And then he skied it over the clubhouse, and they all, 400 or 500 of them, shouted, "Wanker, wanker, wanker," at the top of their voices at him.
Yeah, it was a beautiful sight to behold.
You boys know more about football than me. I'm not sure what step or what level Penturch play. I don't think that bloke has ever witnessed any sort of abuse like that in his life. But
so,
yeah,
he won't be playing in the Anglesey and District League next year. I mean, neither will you, to be fair. But
no, we've been thrown out or pulled out, whichever one you want to decide on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, shout out to the Tom Pendra fans who made it a good atmosphere for 25 minutes until they disappeared into the club to drink heavily.
Which left
us with zero atmosphere.
Well, the word on a pen about this week is the European money is a fraction of what they've made off the Tom Pendra boys in the bar.
That's not hard to believe, really.
Mike Harris, watch out.
I've just seen on the telly Leo Messi to leave PSG. There we are. There's my new signing. Been looking for a manager.
On the ball, as always, Phillips.
I'll tell you
It also says Aberkin on roundabout in advance talks to sign Jude Bellingham. There's that. What's that about? So it says mine.
Right. Good.
Okay. Yeah.
Any advances on that, Phillips?
Yeah, he's gone now, is he?
If anyone's got any... I've had some feedback on Twitter for my seriously bad back. If anyone wants to let me know how to fix a bad back, let me know.
Yeah.
Some remedies. And it doesn't, you know, nothing that costs money.
The 1920s minor lifestyle is a possibility.
It could well be, but they work harder than me. I only work an average of 3 hours a week.
Oh, so you just do the drinking and the smoking and then not the 12 hours down the pit.
And don't forget the horrendous amounts of ibuprofen.
Mine is taking ibuprofen in the 1920s? Or
I've got to cheat a bit. They're harder than me. Yeah, no, nothing else. It's been a pretty nice weekend without that nonsense up in the north.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we'll have to go up there again next year.
Well, undecided, yeah. Is it? Or have you found something down south confirmed? Or
no, that's on the to-do list. Right.
I'd love to see that to-do list.
As well as putting a name to the club, getting a new manager and getting a full squad of players.
Have you thought about just doing like a Harlem Globetrotters type team and just...
Like Pele in the fucking 60s or whatever it was.
Come and see Jonathan Hotspur's the man with a bison leg. That type of freak show carnival atmosphere around the place.
Boys, we went to the Gambia, Central African Republic and Estonia last season, so I think we're doing all right there.
Yeah. And so plenty of planning to come, Phillips, but it's nice you had a nice weekend off, really, and you didn't kill
I'm still
kill
looking
Rodney.
For players. Still looking for players.
The grind never stops, does it? You and I both know that.
Yeah, so if anyone's got any players, send them over. Evan Williams is the latest to reject the managerial role.
Yeah, he's staying on at NSD for another year. Another crack at the whip.
He said he's got a 5-year plan. I don't know what that means. Buy a house or something, probably.
Yeah, buy a house, find a wife, settle down, have kids.
Yeah, and nothing to do with NSD. Yeah, so pretty low key weekend, but big shout out to Tom Pendra. Lovely to see them all crying tears of joy after that cup win.
Yeah.
And back to the grind, basically.
Yeah, never stops, mate.
How long till the season starts?
You've got about, 3 months now?
Yeah, about 3 full months.
Yeah, you should be able to come up with some material in that time.
12 weeks. Sorted.
Well, I wish your back gets better sooner rather than later, Phillips.
Yeah, I'm going to go on to that traction machine that Roger Moore was on in that James Bond film once, where it pulls you from side to side electronically.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, good stuff.
I bought that off an auction once. Right, I love you and leave you, boys. I'm in agony.
There we are. Off your fuck, yeah. Phillips.
Ta-ra.
Yeah, good now.
Back with part two of the podcast. We've got some of your questions to answer. So I think we'll start with, we've had a couple of the same sort of... on the same sort of issue, Ben Price has said, is backing out of a handshake deal with your friends acceptable? # get Tom some shin pads. And fellow View from the Ninian podcastee, not sure what you'd call it, Ben James said, what punishment should be given to someone who won't follow up on his side of a full kit-based bargain? So a bit of background on this. I went to watch Cardiff, this is Watford, a couple of weekends ago with Ben and Tom. There was discussion of dressing up for Burnley away on the last day of the season, sort of a regular thing to do for some reason. People dress up to go away on the last day of the season. There was talk of a Smurf outfit, but that was sort of quickly poo-pooed because the idea of us being relegated at Burnley while dressed as a Smurf and sort of blue tears running down your face wasn't appealing. Can't remember who brought it up, but the idea of going dressed in full kit, including shin pads, GPS bra, all the gubbins was brought up, and Tom said he would only do it if Cardiff stayed up. I'm confident there was a handshake involved, and Tom is now claiming there was no handshake and won't be dressing up. So I think it's a disgrace, and boys, I'm sure you share my feelings on that.
Yeah, I'd say not even a handshake's needed between mates. I think your word should count for something. So I make some wild plans and promises and stuff for my mates, but I think you've got to follow through. I don't need a handshake to make it a commitment. I think if you say it, even if it's in jest, you've committed as far as I'm concerned.
So, there we are. I do, in an incredible twist of fate, quirk of fate, whatever you want to call it, I do live next door to Tom. I will be watching his door nice and early on Sunday morning or Monday, I think, the last game of the EFL is.
Monday.
I'll be there on Monday morning waiting to make sure he leaves in full kit. So I think we will probably speak to Tom next week because he's our Cardiff guy on the fan roundup. So fingers crossed we'll see photos of him in the cricket club next to Burnley's ground at 2 o'clock on Monday afternoon, full kit on. Because, a handshake is a handshake. That will be good to see. Enough about that. Let's talk about the interesting stuff. Evan Williams has asked, what crisp makes the best crisp? It's like a bloody tongue twister. what crisp makes the best crisp sandwich? How much crisp would a wood crisp crisp if a wood crisp could crisp crisp? So what crisp makes the best crisp sandwich, and what drink would you have to wet the whistle and wash it down? Rod, I imagine you're a man who likes a crisp sandwich. What's the go-to?
I think you should have a pack of crisps and eat it whilst you say that question, because I imagine how difficult that would be.
like maize crisps, when it like sticks to the roof of your mouth.
Sticks to your teeth, all claggy in you, yeah. I'm a big connoisseur of I've never had a crisp sandwich, like just crisps on their own in bread. But
right.
Crisps inside with another filling, like... I do it for work. I make myself tuna some days, and I always make sure I have salt and vinegar crisps because I like the combo. I'll chuck some salt and vinegar crisps in with the tuna. Mm. It's like extra sea flavoured. I don't know. But yeah, the best one I've found for that particular combination is salt and vinegar discos.
Oh, yeah, they are. They do blow your face off. They do.
Yeah, because there's a hell of a sharp, vinegary taste to them, and it does... It, as the kids say, it hits different. So I'm trying to act relevant and young now with Lewis on the pod. Yeah. I feel like an old prick. When Kous is here, me and him can struggle on together as the old guys. But otherwise, I don't know. Monster Munch, you crunch them down into a sandwich.
Yeah. Right. Well, I was going to say to Lewis, I imagine, he does say roast beef Monster Munch are the greatest crisp of all time. Would that be the case when it comes to a sandwich?
I'm going to surprise you. I don't think they're that good in a sandwich.
No?
I feel like they're too big. I understand if you crunch them down. But
yeah,
I don't,
crunch them down.
I wouldn't. They're so good that they shouldn't be put into bread. It should just be the Monster Munch by themselves. But I am a crisp in sandwich type of guy. As long as they're not roast beef Monster Munch, I'd say those. Joe, the Max flavor Walkers, the flaming hot or something.
Like the rigid ones, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's a nice.
They've got them jalapeno cheese ones of them these days, aren't they? They're really nice.
I've never seen them.
Oh, they're good. I recommend them to you.
They must be a Sandbury special.
Well, we don't usually get new things here. We're surprised we've even got bloody prawn cocktail down here. what was I going to say with the Monster Munch? I remember back in the day when my mum used to make my sandwiches. when it was a cheese and ham combo in the sandwich, I used to try and jazz it up with prawn, either roast beef or pickled onion Monster Munch.
Interesting.
It's a firm enough sandwich where you can squash them down, because you can't squash cheese and ham too much, can you? So if you're ever confronted with a cheese and ham sandwich, I recommend you try the Monster Munch.
Okay.
when they I've provided more insight here to this position than anything else I've ever. Yeah, I'm gonna stop talking.
Well, I don't think I've ever had a crisp sandwich, but I think I'd go for those salt and vinegar McCoys just because it's just a solid crisp, isn't it?
Yeah, they're also good with tuna.
Gets you going. Right, what have we got? Andrew Dowling, we should have mentioned this earlier, really. He said, I've spent the last hour going down the rabbit hole of looking at posts that Rodri has liked on Twitter, and it all looks pretty doom and gloom, but funny at the same time. If you could pick one moment that's been your highlight and low light from this season, what would it be? Lewis, we'll start with you. From your football season at all different levels of the game, what's your highlight and low light?
I don't know about a highlight. I don't really know about a low light either.
just been all right.
Yeah. Low light, I'd say the worst game of football I've watched this season was Cardiff against Watford in CCS. That was awful. I didn't enjoy that. And then highlight of the season. I quite liked Josh Yorworth's goal to send Penobont to Europe, especially considering, and Rye will testify for me here.
I will.
Twice in the game he scored off a corner. One of them got ruled out. But the two times that he scored off corners were the only two times that I predicted he was going to score off a corner. I'm a visionary.
Yeah, you did say, to be fair, yeah. I will give you that. That was impressive.
Yeah, I think that was a brilliant moment.
Yeah, good moment. I think my highlight probably would be similar. I did enjoy Watford away when Cardiff actually won away. I had very low expectations for that, so that was nice. I just enjoyed watching Penobont this season. I think it's just been really enjoyable football matches and they've been very good. So I think I'll go the 3-2 win against Met, 2-0 down. Nathan Wood scored one of the best goals I've ever seen anyone score. So that's a highlight. Low light. It's easy to say the last minute winner for Swansea against Cardiff in the derby, but I feel like that was almost it was so harrowing, it was laughable. But I think there was a period in the middle of the season where I just felt like I was going to watch Cardiff on a Tuesday and a Saturday and a Tuesday and a Saturday, and it was just crap. And we would lose 1-0, 2-1, and just the games were just so uneventful. It was just boring. And I think that was the real issue with Cardiff's season. At least the Swansea game, it was drama. It was just that sort of tedious, oh, we've lost again. Oh, we lost again without any fight. That's probably the low point. And I guess I forget that, you know, within this season, I know it's not club, was the World Cup sort of a highlight and a low light all in one, really.
Yeah, well, that was going to be my answer. Yeah. It was going to be the World Cup for both. Yeah.
Yeah.
As a highlight and the low light is the World Cup for me. All in one neat package. Because it was, we got to World Cup. I personally went to watch them in the World Cup.
Yeah.
Great to be there. And then we stank the place out in the World Cup. So, you know, all in all, yeah, high and low light combined. So, yeah, that's pretty easy answer to me. I am relieved that Dowling's been through my likes and I haven't come a cropper like that. Who was that celebrity on Twitter? That someone,
Barry Hearn, wasn't it, this week?
Yeah, and he had all his, like, these porn accounts and stuff. I'm quite glad I haven't got all them on there.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if you delve back far. Nah, I'm just joking.
Please don't go too far back on Rodri's account, because I really can't have him being cancelled for something he said when he was 16 or something.
Oh God, you've told people to do that. They're going to do it, are they? Yeah.
I'd like to think no one cares that.
I can't be cancelled. I'm not even.
Yeah.
I'm not. What's the opposite of cancelled? I'm not even that. So I can't. Someone with my profile can't be cancelled.
Rod, was Twitter around when you were 16?
Nope. I joined Twitter in university, which was 2010, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's probably when I did.
And it was very early doors. I used to interact with Al Snow from the wrestling and people like that, because there was only American people on there. So, yeah. Yeah, it was early days.
And Lieutenant Cool as well.
Yeah, it was. That's why my name's Lieutenant Cool, because I did it when I first joined and I never changed it. So people ask me what that's all about. I don't know. I was drunk most of the time. I also remember conversing with Beppe from EastEnders on the... I asked him if he wanted to buy some logs from me, I think.
All the big hitters then. I would like to go back actually and see those early tweets, because I bet there's some real nonsense out there then in the glory days. And on the note of low lights as well, Paul Burns asked question for you, Rod. If Big Sam is the answer, what the fuck was the question?
Yeah. Do we have to do that?
No.
It's just so depressing what's happened there.
And on another similar note, I think, again, a loaded question towards you. Lady Pixie asked, what are your three top worst football managers? Rod, we'll go with you. I think we'll probably have a similar set.
Well, the amount of... They're all going to be like... the recent run of form he's on, but LLL, I'll go for Lampard.
Yeah,
he's absolutely shit, and I don't know how he keeps getting an easy time of it from the media, and big jobs, and hopefully this recent run at Chelsea damages his credibility beyond repair, because he's basically getting these jobs from his playing career, isn't he? He's useless, but in terms of other people, Lampard's one of them, definitely. Worst football managers. I don't have much time for Warnock, but I know there's a lot of Cardiff fans listening that he did a decent job there. I remember when he was Leeds manager, he was awful. Bobby Gould, obviously, from back in the day.
That's
three. I've got loads. Loads. Sam Allardyce probably be on there soon.
Although I did see that he could keep Leeds up by not winning a single game and earn $3 million, which would be very Sam Allardyce. At least Sammy Lee isn't there because he's on jury duty.
Yeah, well, they've got that Oxford man. A bloke who nearly took Oxford down instead. So that's a relief, isn't it? And Robbie Keane, who's Leeds through and through, even though he's had about 20 different boyhood clubs, isn't
it? God. I can't wait to see that play out. That's going to be entertaining over the next.
At least I'll get some entertainment out of watching them crash and burn as well. Because it's beyond parody now. So that's something.
I'm going Solskjaer, because he almost bankrupted Cardiff again just had that Man United job for too long, although I think Lewis will probably back him a little bit, but I just don't rate him at all. Lampard as well, for similar reasons to you, Rod, and you just know he'll end up at a decent club next season. It's just, you know, because everyone's already making excuses for him.
Just a bit more background. Obviously, my problem with Lampard goes back to him and Bielsa. Mm. And there's a clip that's come back out on Twitter today of him going, "We do analysis too and stuff." And the fact he thought he was on a par with someone who's been in management as long as Bielsa when he was at his first club in management just told you all you need to know about him. And there we are. There's my thoughts.
Lewis, three managers that you think are the worst for whatever reason.
Lampard, it's criminal that he's not getting a tune out of this Chelsea team. The amount of quality they've got. Do you remember when Frank de Boer was the manager of Crystal Palace?
Tony Pulis, they sacked him after four games because he hadn't scored a goal or something.
I don't know. I can't think of a third.
Alex Ferguson.
yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah, okay, that's a solid Frank Lampard across the board anyway. Good stuff. Sam has asked, he said his favourite moment from this season was Arsenal versus Wolfsburg at a sold out Emirates on Monday, which was a 103-year-old attendance record for women's football on the British Isles. He said, "When will Wales sell out? Wales women sell out the CCS?" Lewis, I don't think we're particularly too far off. It'll be a big ask because, you know, it does take a big game for the men to sell out. But I can't imagine it'll be in the Nations League. But I think, do you think, you know, if we're on the cusp of qualifying for the Euros in 2025, I think that might be when we'll see it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's exactly when I think. If obviously we go through the qualifying rounds, if we do quite well in the group, then I can imagine that. You know, I think the FAW are quite good in terms of marketing the women's games as well at the CCS. So I feel like it's a matter of time, really, before we do see us sold out Cardiff City Stadium for them. And I do think it will probably have to be sort of one of the last games in a group where we're, you know, third or second or even first, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, to get us over the line, I think that'll be the one. Yeah, I think it'll be hard in the Nations League. Albeit, you know, playing in Germany, for example, I think that'll would be attractive. But I think just to get that extra, because like I said, you know, we often don't see the men sell out for some of the lesser fixtures in the Cardiff City Stadium. So
we never used to get near it in the men's game for most of my life, really. So. Mm. Yeah, like you say, it's the big games and there's every chance, I think. Yeah. Especially if they make it affordable, because that's, you know, it's making it affordable is a big thing. They don't need to put the price up too much, like, for big games.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it?
For either side, so, yeah.
Accessibility. This one's for you, Rod, I think. It's a very you question. Moz has asked, would Bobby Moore have voted for Brexit?
Yeah, I think there's a lot from that generation that will have. So, yeah,
good stuff.
Not to be ageist, but
The Podfather, Alan March, who's currently on holiday with my mother, and it's her birthday today. So happy 60th birthday, Mandy March, the Pod Mother, some would call her. He asks, what are your favourite tapas dishes, considering he is currently in Spain? Lewis, as a man of the world, a man of Bangor, is there even a tapas restaurant in Bangor? I'm sure
there is. There's one in Felinheli, and I've been there before.
That's not Bangor, though, is it?
Might as well be.
What would be your tapas dishes?
I don't know. you say a man of culture and a man of Bangor, and I think you say that tongue in cheek, because it is only once that I've been to a tapas restaurant, and I was about 10. So
there we are. So fish fingers or something. No.
Yeah, I don't even really know what a tapas restaurant would sell. I tell you what, I like calamari.
Yeah.
Any type of like chicken wings, spicier the better. I quite like a Frank's Red Hot sauce.
Can't imagine you'll get that in a Spanish tapas restaurant.
I don't think you would either.
American tapas.
I don't know. I don't know what else I'd have. I'm not really much of a seafood guy, even though I just said I like calamari. I was really hoping you were going to ask Rod this question first, try.
Well, Rod. Go on then, Rod. You know, open up Lewis's eyes to the world of food. Is there a tapas restaurant in Llandovery?
No, but it does help. Both my siblings have lived in Spain.
Of course.
And one still lives there, so I do know a little bit about them. I can't pretend I've had it for years, though, because I haven't been out since before COVID. So, but off the top of my head, you've got them croquette things, like cheese and ham inside it's like a Finder's crispy pancake but in a cigar shape. Yeah, that's completely not what it is, but there's various prawn type things you could have, isn't there? So gambas, patatas bravas is the famous one, isn't it?
Yeah,
so,
patatas bravas is a elite
staple. It's very nice. And tortilla is my favorite, which is like the cold omelet with potato in.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I used to go out and see my brother, and there'd be a place at the end of the night, and they do them on a paper plate and a pint at the same time, and it was an unusual experience, but it was a great combination. It was it's stuck in my mind. That was so I'd go for the tortilla, I think they call it. So which isn't like our tortilla, which is what we think of bread, don't we?
Wraps
like a flat wrap, yeah, but their tortillas like a basically a big cold omelet. I don't think it has to be cold, but that's when I've had it.
Again, that's Bravis. Any sort of chorizo dish, big fan.
Oh yeah.
There's a really good tapas place in Bridgend which does padron peppers. First time I had.
What I just remembered. I'm glad you said it.
I have them everywhere I go now.
They're great.
They're a bit of a staple of most. I feel like they're on trend. I see them quite a lot on menus at the moment.
Yeah.
They're really good. And what else? For some reason, every now and again, in certain places, you might get a black pudding based one, because I think black pudding is quite big in the Basque region. So I think anything that's got black pudding involved is a winner for me.
I think there was a kind of pork and chips type. It wasn't tapas, but it was in Spain, and it was like it was like cubes of potato and cubes of pork mixed together with some sauce on it. That was. But that could just be a meal out there, I don't know. But if you can get a tapas variety of that, I don't know. But rasho and chips or whatever, chips is in Spanish. Yeah. That's what it was, I think.
All right. Well, we better wrap up soon because I am absolutely starving after that conversation. So we got one final question, and that is from, of course, Boosh. Here he is. Reached out a hand to try again. I'm floating in a beam of light with you. A beam of light with you, synthed flock of seagulls. Colwyn Bay FC have been promoted. We are one of the best attendances in the Cymru Leagues. What one thing would you do to help increase match attendance? So obviously it's something we've talked about a lot over the last few years. I think we've all come up with various ideas. If you could narrow it down to one, Lewis, what would be your one pick?
It's easy to say, like, sort of social media coverage and stuff. So I'm not going to say that because I think, I think they do quite a good job.
The league do a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. The league.
I don't really know. I think what I saw something that was quite good for the cup final that Ballartown did. I don't know if you saw it, but they they hid two tickets somewhere.
Oh yeah.
And were putting more. So I think maybe, perhaps one thing that could be done is for the clubs in the Cymru Leagues to get more sort of media training, because you see a few of the Cymru Premier teams, never mind the Cymru North and South, won't post updates and stuff throughout a game or stuff like that. So I feel like better marketing from the clubs themselves would be, but then at the end of the day, they don't have money to be able to. Most teams don't have money to be able to pay somebody to do their social media for them. So
yeah, fair enough. Makes sense. Rodri is a man who obviously doesn't really live too close to a Cymru Leagues team. What would help encourage you to go to a Cymru Leagues game? I think that's the way to pitch this question.
Well, right now it would be free tapas on the gate. I just wanted to say quickly to Boosh, that's the favourite song he's quoted so far of mine, I Ran by the Flock of Seagulls.
Yeah.
It's my former karaoke selection.
I'd love to have seen that.
Well played, Boosh. Anyway, what would encourage me to go? I think it is all to do with exposure of the league, I think. If you get the league more prominent in people's minds and you expose them to watching it more, you get more crowds in, I think, and more interest in the whole thing as a product. But yeah, you made me think now what personally will get me down there.
I know it's fairly difficult because Carmarthen's your sort of closest team in the top two tiers, or Llanelli, maybe probably Carmarthen, I guess, or Ammanford. But it's still a little bit of a trek for you.
Yeah. That's one I'm gonna have to mull over because I'm not too sure. Yeah, I can't come up with a genuine good answer for that, because I think I should give a serious answer for that rather than a jokey answer like I initially gave.
But still, that
really would work.
Yeah, Ammanford are doing tapas at the side of the pitch, then I'm sure that would help. I think the more, especially now as nights get lighter and slightly warmer, I think summer football would just revolutionise it. I know it's harder to do in practice than in theory. But I think that would really change things. And or just, you know, Friday nights. But then Friday nights in February are very different to Friday nights in May.
Yeah.
So I think that would probably be my suggestion. In an
could they just make the season happen from like April and May, and then leave it a bit until August and September? Because there is
mental heat. Yeah,
yeah. The weather you get in these months always put you in a good mood anyway, and the days are longer, and you know everyone's up for a good time and getting down the football and watching a game on a Friday evening when it's dry and sunny. So
I do think maybe a slightly earlier start, like you sort of say, and like have a little break for winter. If you sort of 6 weeks after Christmas, you know, have your Boxing Day fixtures and then sort of break for 6 weeks and then come back to it and sort of almost reduce the games. So games are more of an event. Yeah. I know there's loads of things, but I think that, you know, and finish the season, you know, because obviously the season's wrapped up now and, you know, I know the English Premier League is a very different kettle of fish, but you know, they're going into the end of May. Obviously there is the World Cup.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's a couple more weeks they could have eaten into to save a couple of those minging late January cancellations.
Yeah. I know it's the case in Kinderbury, but it's they share their football pitch with the cricket club. So
yeah,
whether the teams have to like kind of finish the season early May because the cricket starts, but it would be nice if the season's extended into like early June rather than happening over them months where it's just pissing down the whole time. So
yeah,
I'd be up for a winter break. I think that would help. And this is the type of time of year where I think you would get great crowds most if there was a good solid run of fixtures. So
yeah, and I remember there was a suggestion. I can't remember who from, but you know, like having a break in January, but whoever the top four in the Cymru Premier at the time go and play the top four in the Northern Irish Premier League and stuff, and just makes things a bit interesting and have that sort of mini cup. But it's the $1 million question that we will continue to debate until the cows come home. So that's it from us in terms of questions. Thanks again for sending them in. We've had a bit more time to sort of dawdle on the questions tonight because there wasn't much going on in the first half. So great if you like that kind of thing. Not so great if you prefer the football talk. Lewis, you're going to be picking a track to play us out.
I literally just remembered now.
I'm going to go Save the King, is it?
No, that's on another podcast I'm on. I'm going to go for Totally by Inhaler.
Okay, Totally by Inhaler. Don't like them because it's Bono's son, but you've picked it.
I wasn't really keen, but recently my mates have been playing them, and it's one that sticks to my mind.
Yeah, I just feel like it very much wouldn't be there if it wasn't for the fact the lead singer is Bono's son, but there we are.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion. More hot takes.
But if everyone was judged by their parents, then
I think people would think a lot better of me if they were judged.
I'd be in a much brighter light, I think.
True.
Right then, from me before we wrap up, obviously it is, you know, there's plenty going on the weekend in various parts of the British Isles, and in completely unrelated news, you can buy loads of stickers on our website. And yeah, we'll be releasing the front cover for the next Alternative Wales next week. So keep an eye out for that. Still got a couple of issue 9s available if you haven't got one. Best way to support the podcast, etc., etc., etc. Rodri, any closing statements from yourself?
Yeah, well, I'm just delighted to announce I'll be working nights this weekend. So I'll be missing that whole shit show. Never be happier to be in work on a weekend. I just air my personal view that it's disgraceful how much money this thing is costing in the current climate. But, you know, leave them to it. It'll soon be over, I think. And Rye said, just direct yourselves to them stickers and see what you could do with them. Totally unrelated to what's happening this weekend, but yeah. And keep on trucking.
Absolutely. Lewis, anything from yourself before old Bono's lad plays us out?
I'm going to have a similar one to... Well, Oh, this is... We've had way too many of these today. Anything. Visit Bangor. and let me know what you think.
Yeah, if you have any thoughts or feelings on Bangor, please tweet us. Or just tweet Lewis. I don't need to be involved in that. anyway, thanks for listening. I know it's been a bit of a weird show because we haven't really had much to think about, but I think we got away with it. Next week, we'll be speaking to fans of the EFL teams. And then we'll be back for show 100 when I decide what we're going to do. Maybe we'll just have everyone who's ever been on at once and it'll just ask them to shout. And it'll just be like that, horrendous to listen to.
It'll be like that Zoom call that was went viral during the lockdown with that woman get shouted at.
Yeah, it was the councilwoman.
Yeah, maybe you can play the role of the councilwoman. You have no authority here, Ryan Matt.
Yeah, there we go. This is something to look forward to. Lewis, what was the name of the track again? I've already forgotten it.
Totally
by Inhaler will play us out. Thanks again for listening. Thank you, Lewis. Thank you, Rodri. And Kaus, if you're listening, which I know you aren't, I'm looking forward to speaking to you soon. Have a good bank holiday weekend. Buy your stickers. And we'll speak to you next week. Diolch yn fawr. Goodbye. But still can't relate.